club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, lots to get through in today's show, MG. Toby Green from the GWS Giants is going to join us. Their season hanging by a thread. They really need the win against Carlton this weekend. You've got your tips for round 15.
Yep, all the Origin players are back.
Makes for an interesting tipping round, Mum.
It is. I've got mixed emotions today, but we're speaking to a man shortly who announced his retirement on Monday, but it's time for a little bit of celebration. We'll celebrate a fantastic career.
Well said, MG. Let's get into it.
The Triple M Rush Hour with MG. What's cracking? Brought to you by Kraken and Dry Premix, the taste you've been hunting for.
On Monday, it was the press conference that none of us wanted to hear. Roosters captain, New South Wales captain, Australia captain, Boyd Cordner announcing his retirement from the game. And it is a pleasure to welcome that man onto the show. G'day, Boyd.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, fantastic, buddy. As Liam mentioned, we didn't want to hear that. We didn't expect to hear that. Very emotional day for you and your family. Tell us about the process that made you come to that realisation that enough was enough.
Yeah, it's obviously a decision that I didn't really want to make, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm very content with it. I've had a few days now to sort of process it, and you know, I feel good. I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders, and I feel relaxed. And you know, that's how I know I've made the right decision. There's no doubt that you know, well, you would have experienced it yourself, MJ. I'm not sure how you retired or if you were ready, but I'm sure you still get that feeling of, you know, when big games come or when the footy's on, that you still feel like that you can get out there and play and mix it with them. So I know whether I was ready to retire or if I wasn't, I know that feeling would have always been there. But I'm content, mate. I'm happy and I know it's the right thing, putting my health first.
Before we get onto a bit of a chat about the HIA situation in the NRL at the moment, I think we'd better first celebrate what a fantastic, fantastic career you had. I remember I was telling the boys yesterday on air, it was 2011, I was doing a show for Fox, and you came in with, I think, the media manager or someone from the Roosters, and you said, it was 2011, and they said, this is the next big thing. I said, geez, a big kid. and that was the first thing that I remembered, how big your hands were, and you were such a humble young kid back then, and I remember you were just kind of like a deer in the headlights. To think that here we are 10 years later and you've captained your club to grand finals, your state, your country. Oh, man, it's a decorated career, Boydo.
Yeah, mate, it is, and it's something that I'm really proud of and I can look back on and I can take peace with that, knowing that, you know, the career that I've had, the success and the achievements, but all in all, the thing that I'll have peace with is knowing that every little thing I've done, I'll put everything I had into it. All my heart I had every time I pulled on that Roosters jersey, that Blues jersey, Aussie jersey, whatever it was, every training session. I used to get nervous before training sessions because I knew what I was going to do, and like I knew that I was just going to push myself that hard. And that's how I went about, you know, my footy, and that's how I lived my life, is, you know, at 100% and put everything I had into it. So I know that I couldn't give any more, and although it's going to be hard, like I said, in the future, thinking that, you know, what if, but like I just touched on then, I'm going to take great peace with what I achieved and what I've done, and I just didn't have anything more left to give.
Monday's presser, the announcement, Boyd, you spoke amazingly well, and it was an incredibly emotional experience for yourself. When you made the decision, when you came to the decision that you were going to retire, did you, you know, put in some phone calls to some specific people to let them know? Presumably you spoke to Robbo. Did you call anybody else from along the years to inform them beforehand?
Yeah, sure. It was a decision I made about a week ago, and or probably a little bit longer. And, you know, it's something that I was wrestling with, I touched on, and I knew the longer I left it, the more likelihood that I was going to play. And I had to sort of have a tough conversation with myself and answer a few questions. And the hardest time saying it was the first time to my girlfriend. And we sat down at dinner, and you know, that was the hardest convo, because I knew once I said it out loud, it was real. But once I said it, I had a little bit of weight lift off my shoulders, but I knew that there was a lot of more tough conversations to come. And then, yeah, like you said, I called Robbo, and, you know, he came around to my house, and, you know, I let him know, and we thought of a plan of attack, and, you know, when was the best time? It's obviously not a good time to do it, but, you know, I just wanted to not rush it. I just wanted to just, you know, sit on it for a bit, and called obviously family members, my dad, and then Nick, Freddie, Mal, and a couple of my really close teammates there. So, yeah.
It's funny, MG, when you have to sort of rattle through the various teams that you're the captain of. You have to just, I better call the Australian coach, I better call the New South Wales coach, I better call the Roosters coach. Hey, yeah. Boyd, did you watch, you'd obviously, the decision was made in your mind before State of Origin Game 1.
Yeah.
How was that experience, sitting watching Game 1, knowing that you'd made the decision?
Yeah, it was probably the worst thing I could have done, mate, is to watch that game, because then I was asking myself some questions, and I knew that I hadn't told too many people yet, and I knew it wasn't too late to renege. Yeah, but it just filled me with pride to, you know, I've been a New South Wales supporter, since I watch footy, and when I was playing, and every single game that I haven't played, I'm the biggest supporter, and just to watch them boys, the way they went about their business, and it just made me so proud to be a New South Welshman and to be a part of, you know, something so special like beforehand.
Well, ironically, Boydo, your last game was Origin 1 last year against Adelaide, yeah, against the Maroons. Talk us through the head knocks and what kind of side effects that you were experiencing.
Yeah, sure. I suffered one early on in the year, and I had about a 6 weeks layoff for that, because I did suffer some side effects, mainly just headaches, MG, and I knew that it wasn't too serious, but it was serious enough to go, well, I've got these headaches because of a head knock, so, you know, I need to be honest with myself and the medical team, and I did that, and, you know, recovered from that. I had another couple late in the year, and obviously the last one was the New South Wales one, and that sort of set off the symptoms again, and it sort of just went from there. I knew that I had to have a bit of time off, and sat down and spoke with medical team at the Roosters and sorted out what the best plan of attack was for me to get back and play footy. And, you know, we done that, and I can't thank the Roosters enough for obviously putting my health and safety first, for one, but to, you know, do everything they possibly can to, you know, get me back on the field. And we did that. The journey was a tough one, and, you know, I had some of the hardest training sessions that I've had, and you know, I went through periods there where, you know, I was, like I touched on in that presser, where I was really good, and that's all I ever wanted to do. I felt like a footy player, and that's all I was going to do, was get back and play. And then I had periods where it just sort of pulled me back a bit, and, you know, my mom was going, you know, what are you doing? Like, you know, what does the next one look like? And by the end of it, mate, like I said, I was still feeling that way. I thought the more training I did with the NRL team and with the side, the more training, the more involved I was going to be, the talks and away from footy that I was feeling would just go away, and like I'd be sweet. But it didn't, and I had to listen to that, because the game of rugby league is so hard, and I know that if I wasn't 100% going into a game of rugby league, it just would have been, you know, it wouldn't have been fair to anyone.
Boyd, we're in a situation now where Jake, obviously making the decision earlier in the year to retire in around similar circumstances, yourself now, and now we see a man of your generation, Wade Graham, captain of the Cronulla Sharks, he's going to take a break from the game as well off the back of another concussion on the weekend.
Yep.
How do you feel that, I guess, the media should be handling these circumstances? Because it's unique. We haven't dealt with them before. And we see speculation and we see it's such an unknown area. We are not experts in this.
It's animated. It's very animated.
And it's such an emotive subject. How do you think these should be handled moving forward?
I think the HIA and what the game's doing is really good. I think the player welfare and what they're doing there is awesome. They've come such a long way since when MG was playing, you know. So we've come in leaps and bounds there. In regards to the media and everything around it, I know myself when I went through it, it was a personal thing that I was going through and I was struggling with, and you know, every day there was something in the media, and you know, I couldn't go to the shops without someone knowing my business, and I knew that I was hurting a bit from it, and I couldn't hide away from anything because it was so public and everyone knew about it. It was I felt a little bit uncomfortable, you know, about it all, but it is real and you have to face it head on. That's what I realised. And I'm not sure. Look, it is a touchy subject at the moment, and the head knocks and everything. It's going to be a part of our game. We can't wipe that out. There's no way. But is there a way that we can be better at it? I'm sure there is, but that's going to be something that we're going to have to work towards, you know, pretty quick, because I don't want to see it getting out of hand.
I remember when I played, we used to laugh at boxers, because when they got KO'd, they had to have 6 months off. Now we're getting kind of around the same realms. I mean, 70%, Boydo, of these cases seem to be, head knocks, that is, either from defending, when you're the defender going in and getting a stray elbow or a hip, or friendly fire. Is there a need for us to start telling our under-20s players and our flag players and our interest cup players to start tackling differently?
I don't know. I think tackle tech and learning the right way. I've always learned, you know, that from a young age. And
put your head to the side and drive.
Put your head to the side, and you know that's obviously still going to be taught in the game to tackle the right way. The thing with me, when my head knocks, most of them were from my tackling technique, but for me personally, most of them were from when I was, you know, under a fair bit of fatigue. You can't concentrate as well as you would if you're in like the first 10 minutes of the game. So
that's a good
point. They want to, you know, speed up the game and everything, and for the fans, and you know, that's all well and good. It's a good spectacle, but then you got to realise that it brings more fatigue in the game. And for me, speaking from experience, I know that that's been a factor in a few of my head knocks.
Boyd, the circumstances under your that surround your retirement aren't the ideal ones, but as MG said off the top, the career will stand alone as one of the great careers, not only just for the Roosters, but in the game. I mean, MG, it was only last year we were doing the decade of rugby league and looking back and just marvelling at the decade that the Roosters had put together, and the fact that there was this 28-year-old bloke by the name of Boyd Cordon who'd played in 3 comp wins and captained everyone. Hypothetical for you, Boyd. Now, you've got, I don't know what your future plans are, but if Freddie, Mao and Robbo are all calling you saying, mate, come and jump into an assistant role with me, we need you, who's getting the nod? Where do the allegiances lie first there?
Oh mate, it's a rooster, baby. It's a rooster for sure, mate. You know, Robbo means so much to me, and that club. You know, that's my home. I'm very proud New South Welshman, and I love playing for my country, no doubt. You know, but I wouldn't be the player or the man I am today if it wasn't from, you know, that red, white, and blue jersey. So, you know, that's where all my loyalty lies, is with them. But in saying that, if we can make them all work, then why not?
There we go.
Exactly. I've, You've played 183 games for your beloved Roosters, 16 for New South Wales, 20 for the Aussies, 202 points, 50 tries, one goal. When, how, and why did this happen?
Yeah, this is a while. I think it was in 2014, and I used to goal kick as a kid, as everyone did.
We all did.
You know, like before training or after training, I'd just love it. I'd just grab the tee and just set them up from the sideline and then just start nailing just for a bit of fun. And actually, I didn't know the coaches and everyone was looking and like, oh, you can kick. And I'm like, oh, yeah, not too bad. Like, I just do it for a bit of fun. And then we had one game where everyone went down, no one was kicking. And then I was meant to kick. They told me before the game, they're like, oh, look, we want you to kick. And I was like, oh, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, shitting myself. I didn't really want to do it, but I was like, oh, look, you know, I'll give it a go. And I remember the first try we scored was on the sideline. I'm going, oh, fuck, here we go. And then I've shanked it. And then I was like, oh, anyway, it's from the sideline. No one really care. Scored another one. I was on the sideline on the other side, shanked it. And then, anyway, I got sacked. They go, all right, give it to someone else. And then there was this crucial stage in the second half, and we hadn't kicked a goal, and we're lucky we scored a lot of tries that game, and we're up by six, and we've about 15 to go, and we got a penalty just to the side of the uprights, and the call come down, and no one really wanted to take the kick, and I was like, oh, I need to kick one surely, so I put my hand. I was like, give it here, I want it, and then yeah, nailed it. Put us up by eight. So every time someone asked about that, I told everyone that I won the game.
Oh, I love it. MG, in Taree, there's an oval, Johnny Martin Oval, it's called. Now, Johnny Martin played eight tests for Australia during Sharks, the 1960s.
He was a hooker, yeah.
Is that the same bloke who played tests for Australia? Is it a cricketer? Sure. Same bloke.
Oh, I'm thinking of maybe Johnny McMartin.
It's a pretty common name. There might be a couple of them. But this Johnny Martin, the one that Taree Park's named after, played eight tests for Australia back in the 1960s. All I'm saying to Johnny Martin...
There's pressure on you, Johnny.
I think you might be in strife. Because Boydo, I mean, surely the town meetings in Taree
I'm thinking more of a statue for Boydo.
We're thinking statue. have there been discussions? What is there anything named after Boyd Cordner in Taree just yet?
No, mate, there isn't.
There will be, buddy.
I'm an old bar man, mate.
Taree, old bar.
Yeah, old bar man and Taree. So, mate, like all of that doesn't mean much to me. You know, if it happens, it happens. But, I can just imagine the statue. She'd be an ugly one.
Just don't get whoever made the bloody Cam Smith one down in Melbourne. Yeah. That's a shocker.
I can just imagine the size of my chin, the big bum chin on it.
Before we let you go, brother, and we hope to be talking to you a lot more now that you are retired and you'll probably see you in the media in different places. Yeah. A couple of quick ones. Who was your hardest opponent?
Oh, I really rated Sam Burgess.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, Sammy. Mate, he's. I had a lot of respect for him, and he's. You know, I really thought that the work that he'd done, I thought that he was the best in the game there for a while, and yeah.
Who was the player when you lined up? He was in your team. You knew you were going to win.
James Tedesco.
There we go, brother.
Pretty good.
James Tedesco.
Yeah, how good is he? he's special, isn't he?
He's my favourite player, mate. And you can see, everyone knows he's, you know, the best player in the world and what he does. But when you actually play with him, the stuff that people see all the highlights and what he does, and he does so much of it so well, but what the fans don't see and everything is just amazing of, you know, how actually tough he is. And I just knew that when he was at fullback that we were going to win.
Do you think with everything that's going on with Tom Trbojevic at the moment and the vein of form that he's in is quite ridiculous, people are undervaluing James Tedesco somewhat?
Well, yeah, I just think we've got so many great fullbacks in the game. And you see a performance like Teddy in the State of Origin when he had like 11 tackle busts over 200 metres and no one really talks about him. And, you know, but that's like an average game for Teddy now. And
that's right.
I think we take for granted that how actually good that game is, that average game of his. So,
and with zero mistakes as well. He just doesn't
make
mistakes.
And he does it every week. He just does it every week too.
Well, I think the mark of a really good football player is letting your teammates, when you know they're in the zone, like he did with Latrell and Turbo, that first Origin match, he just takes a back seat and he just looks back and says, "Boys, hey, it's your tonight's your night. Go for it. And I'll just do what
100%.
I do.
Yeah, whoever's got the hot hand,
yeah, baby, yep.
Hey, Boyd. So what now? What's going to be your role with the club, the Roosters, for the rest of the season?
You know what? For the rest of the season, I want to just probably have a week. I'll go out and watch the boys play at Penrith, but I want to finish the year off with them and do it properly. I think. You know, I owe it to myself and the club to do that, and then have a bit of time off to just get away from the game and be a normal person for a bit, and not having to worry about, you know, having footy in the back of my mind all the time. So I'm going to have a bit of time, and then I'm sure I'll be involved in rugby league in some capacity, and definitely the Roosters, and if Freddie needs anything, and you know, the footy is all I know. So
yeah.
You know, I'll have passions and hobbies away from it, but I'd still love to be involved in the game.
Well, I do not doubt that there will be plenty of knocks on the door for your services. Boyd Cordner, congratulations on the career. Absolutely outstanding. MG, I think the statue makers will be getting to work.
Oh, mate, they've already got the concrete, they've already got the bronze or gold or silver, whatever they're going to put it in, and it's standing right as you drive into Tarry Old Bar. It's a picture of BC.
Thanks for having me, guys. See you later.
Love footy? You'll love Seeker's Footy Tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs so you can join in anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com.au. Seeker, your go-to product on the worksite. And now, MG's Tips. Oh, he's got some new highlights, has he?
Nah, mate, we're talking about footy tips.
That makes more sense.
MG, I would argue from a tipping perspective, now is the most important time of the NRL season. State of origin, fluctuations in lineups, the form guide goes out the window. So these tips are more important than ever for round 15.
Certainly are. That's, as you mentioned, all the origin players are back, and they're all, and most of them who are on the peripheral of origin selection are out for big games to impress for game two.
Now, if you want the full tips for round 15, grab the listener app. It's free to download. You can hear our full round preview podcast where MG walks through every single game. But let's start it off with Friday night, a sold out game, Bluebet Stadium. Your Panthers taking on the Roosters. Your Panthers in free fall. They're tumbling down the ladder. They currently sit second, but they get all their origin stars back.
Yeah, they do, as do the Roosters, who get Teddy back, and Taki Ahau is back as well. But at the moment, Sam Verrills as well is back. So that's a big three for them. But, yeah, Penrith's big ones are all back. All the origin players are back, and I think they'll win.
And you lined up a beer with Boyd Cordner on Friday night.
Certainly
out of Bluebet Stadium.
Certainly have.
What about that for footy fans, getting to see MG and Boyd Cordner just sharing a frothy together on a Friday night?
We're going into the Hertz box for a couple.
Oh, how fantastic. Next game, I want to get your thoughts on, MG. Saturday, 3 o'clock, McDonald Jones Stadium. Now, this is where the Mark Hughes Foundation walk is going to end up. At the ground for this game. They're currently making the walk from NRL HQ to McDonald Jones Stadium over the course of 3 days, raising money for that terrific cause.
And we'll talk to Boosie tomorrow as well.
On the show. Now, Kalen Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, two huge ins for the night. Does it get them over the line in your book?
Yeah, it does. I think so. I think this is their last roll of the dice. The Knights lose this game against the Warriors, who will be equally as desperate. In the Nathan Brown Cup, and you can basically say goodbye, hello 2022 in a while. But I think the Knights on the back of Ponga will prevail.
And you reckon that there's going to be ramifications for the Queensland outfit off the back of this game as well?
Well, I think if young Reece Walsh stands up and delivers like he has been all season, well, he's going to put himself right in front of the selectors as well. So it's a healthy position that the Queensland fullback find themselves in.
Now, there are some danger games, but you are tipping an upset this round.
I am, and it comes in the form of, I don't know why, The Dragons over the Raiders.
Dragons over the Raiders. They just got done by the Bulldogs. This is a home game for them. Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. They get Tarek Sims back, but the Raiders are favourites.
Well, Tarek played last week as well, and I think that they can't play any worse, the Dragons. They look, every one of them were held accountable against a Dogs side that turned up to play footy, basically. You can't just go to a rugby league game and think you're going to do it and go through the motions, and that's exactly what the Dragons did after a bit of false economy the week before against the Broncos. So I'm tipping them to bounce back, because I think Hook Griffin would have been ropeable. And I mean ropeable.
And you'd reckon Matt Duffy would want to put on one hell of a show, both offensively and defensively this week against a club that is interested in his services for next season.
Well said. And I think likewise the halves. Corey Norman's told look elsewhere. He's auditioning every week. And Ben Hunt, he wants a spot on that bench for Queensland.
All right. Lastly, Sunday afternoon, Bankwest Stadium, a couple of Western Sydney teams. Going to be a fantastic game, particularly given the Bulldogs have got some confidence about them. Eels taking on the Dogs.
Yeah, this is a fantastic game. I hope the sun's shining and there's no breeze. It's a dry game and because we'll get good footy. The Bulldogs have shown that they've got something in them. They've got a bit of bite in them, excuse the pun. But the Eels are slippery, so you better watch them as well. Look, I look at both these benches, very, very strong both benches, and even more than that, the players that couldn't make the 17 are strong. So I think the Eels has been playing fantastic brand of footy, and I think they'll continue to do that and maintain the rage. They will beat the Bulldogs by, I'd say, 8 to 10 points.
You're better than that to describe the Bulldogs as having bite and the Eels as being slippery. You're better than
that.
Yeah,
I didn't have much time to work on it. You know? It's just something that came straight to me.
Those are MG's tips for round 15. Thanks to Seeker. If you love footy, you will love Seeker's footy tipping. Weekly prizes up for grabs. You can join in now. Even at round 15, you can still join. Sign up now at SeekerFootyTipping.com. Seeker is your go-to product on the worksite. MG, thanks to Bing Lee. We need to talk some AFL. Bing Lee, they have been bringing you the best brands and best advice since 1957. Head to binglee.com.au to grab a deal today. We welcome back friend of the show from the GWS Giants, Toby Green. Now, I'm interested to know how Toby's feeling because the Giants played out every athlete's worst experience on the weekend with a draw.
Well, I'm more interested in, is it really like kissing your sister, like they say?
They say dancing with your sister. Let's find out. Toby Green from the Giants. Firstly, do you have a sister? And secondly, have you danced or kissed her?
No, thanks for having me, boys. But no, I don't have a sister, and so I can't say I've ever kissed her.
Okay.
Well, obviously, in the NRL these days with Golden Point, we don't have draws. So I enjoyed the draw. I don't know if that sounds crap or not, but I know that Dan Lloyd, he levelled with two great goals in the last stanza, and he had a chance with the final kick to win it for you, but I like the climax of a draw. I know the players don't, but I think the spectators somehow do, Tobes.
Yeah, it is certainly frustrating after the game, but I guess from a spectator's point of view, I mean, both teams were trying to win the game desperately in the last minute, so it makes it good viewing, but it's certainly a numb feeling when the siren goes. It definitely feels more like a loss than a win.
What do you think of Golden Point being introduced to the AFL? Would it ever happen, do you think?
I don't mind it. Like extra time or Golden Point, whatever it is. Like, I'll definitely be open to the idea. I think that's what we have in finals. But, I can see why the draw's there. But, yeah, I probably wouldn't have mind playing an extra 5 minutes on the weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Giants had all the running, so you probably would have fallen over the line. But you take 2 points, you come back, and now you find yourself a game and a half out of the eight with a game against Carlton this Saturday night. Leon must be dry, and you probably don't need Leon to tell you, but a super important game for your finals chances this weekend.
Yeah, it is. It is. Carlton is sort of probably in the same position as us as well, so it's a huge game Saturday night. Back at Giants Stadium, so that's good. Good to be back, but it is a huge game. But looking forward to it.
Teams to beat, mate. The Demons, Cats, Lions, Dogs. Out of them four, who do you think's the team that you think should be at the top of the table? I know the Demons are, but who do you think's the team to beat after 13, 14 rounds this season?
They look good. The D's. Jezza's going pretty well for the Geelong.
Yeah, didn't he play well? Wow.
Yeah. So. Be interesting to see how they go the rest of the year, but I guess it's a pretty open year. Like there's probably five or six teams that have been right up there at the moment. So, I think those top four teams probably sit where they deserve at the moment.
Toby, interested to get your take on the David McKay situation. He's going to be at the AFL Tribunal tonight. For those unaware, this is an Adelaide Crows player who went into a contest over the weekend and left Hunter Clark from St Kilda with a broken jaw. Now, the contact was in the contest. It's in the spirit of the game. But the fact of the matter is he made high contact to the head and a player has been left with a broken jaw.
It's divided the AFL community
at the moment. Toby, you're a bloke who has been accused of playing the game on the edge his whole career. How did you see the contest, and what do you think will be the outcome on Thursday night?
I've only seen it once, like just quickly, so I'm not too well placed to comment. But I guess I'll always take the David McKay side in this situation. I guess it is unfortunate that it left the St Kilda player with a broken jaw. But I mean, if you're going for the ball, you're going for the ball. There's not much you can do about it. So I guess that'll be the argument.
How hard would that be for you if it turns out David McKay gets rubbed out for a couple of weeks? How hard would that be for you to, in a situation like that on the weekend, say Friday, Saturday night against Carlton, you're at top speed running for a footy and knowing that you now have to take a half step into those sort of a contest?
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to change it too much, to be honest. Like, it's just what you do. It's how you've grown up playing. So, you know, I mean, you can suspend a player, but I don't think it's going to change too much. It's just sort of ingrained in you. And if you're going for the ball, then you're not going to change too much about what you're doing in your actions. It's just unfortunate that it's left a broken jaw.
Yeah, that's a thing. I think that's if it was a normal tackle or a normal bump and there was no broken jaw, that we wouldn't be talking about it now. But I think accidents do happen, both in both our codes. And at the moment, we're both undergoing a bit of a metamorphosis because, you know, in NRL, we've got a crackdown on high hits. And I know this is a groundbreaking tribunal that will be happening tomorrow night, which I can't wait to see the outcome. It's going to be – it's one of them things that everyone's watching, Tobes.
Yeah, it is. I can understand, like, the sling tackles and sort of the other protocols they've brought in over the last few years. But I guess when two guys are going for the ball, you know, it's part of the game. And I don't know too much. I haven't watched the vision too closely either. But hopefully he gets off if that is the case.
Saturday night, Giants Stadium taking on Carlton. Does Phil Davis come back in for this game to tackle the behemoth that is Harry Mackay?
Yeah, well, he played on the weekend and got through well. So yeah, he'll definitely be in the running to play. He's missed a fair chunk of footy, but he's back now training and got to play on the weekend. So. We're going to need someone to play on him because he's going well.
Toby. You'd probably need a step ladder to get up there.
No, I don't bench down that end too often.
If you're in your defensive 50, something's going
wrong.
Who's
the favourite for the Brownlow this year in the AFL?
I don't know. Who is it?
It would be Bont or Petraka. Close?
Yeah, you'd say one of those.
Fair enough. Hey, how's the shoulder pulled up after the rest?
No, all good. Yeah, felt good. Body was sore, but I hadn't touched anyone for a month, so it was a bit of a shock to the system. I feel all good to go.
Terrific.
Well, you got to touch some blues this Saturday night, brother.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Toby Green from the Giants this Saturday night. Got a huge game for the Giants season, taking on Carlton. Appreciate your time, Toby. Hopefully the Giants get the win on Saturday.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Bit of footy chat. Thanks to Bingley, MG. We got to get out of here. Tomorrow, it is Thursday night footy. Round 15 gets underway. The Broncos taking on the Bunnies. Mark Hughes will be talking up beanies for brain cancer round. He will join us tomorrow night.
Can't wait to speak to him. Also, we'll know the victor between Hooney and Gallen. As always, thank you for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.